gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the internet. Here in the basement of the Great Hall of Justice are the most powerful forces for good podcasting ever assembled. This is the DC Superpowers Podcast.
This looks like a job for Superman.
To the Batmobile.
My name is John Jones.
I am the Green Arrow.
Hey, super friends, welcome back to the DC Superpowers Podcast, issue number 57 for New Comic Book Day, May 24th, 2017. I'm your host, Ken Rose. Sitting along with me here in the basement of the Hall of Justice is my co-host and buddy, Vern.
How you doing, guys? Happy to be back.
Dude, are you finally done being sick?
I don't know. We'll figure out after all this medication goes. Tonsils, guys, keep your tonsils clear. Go to doctor, make sure everything's good with you, because if your tonsils are going to mess up, you're going to hate yourself.
You've been fighting this, what, 2 months?
Yeah, about.
That's insane, man.
It is.
But we actually have some pretty big news.
Oh, we've got a lot of news.
Some of it. Now, we're running a little late this week. You guys know that, because you usually get it a little bit earlier than now. But if all that goes according to plan, you'll actually get this episode tonight,
mm-hmm.
the day before New Comic Book Day. But we have... So I'm glad, kind of glad we left this... Let the show go a little late this week, because we got some breaking news last night.
Mm-hmm.
We
sad
actually have
news.
A new director on Justice League.
Yeah, this is a sad and good thing. What the tragedy is bad, but also good news... For who's going to be taking up the mantle.
Exactly. This is one we've been looking for a while. But we do have your discussion on the Black Lightning trailer. We have DC Films released new release dates for most of their films, and mm-hmm. they've rearranged a couple things.
As usual.
The Flash is looking at two new guys as directors.
Hopefully.
And there's some pretty big names.
Yeah. These guys also have some, well, at least one of them have had past direction with other comic book heroes. So.
Oh, yeah. We got Mr. Miracle's returning.
Yes, he is. I'm hoping Big Bar is in there. And also, we're going to have a tie in between what's going on with Superman and the Watchmen.
Well, we knew something like that was going to come, and it looks like that's the one after the Flash, Flash Batman
crossover. This
will
be the
crossover.
Next
one. This is the next step in the storyline.
Mm, so we've had Rebirth, we've had the Flash, the Button story, and now we're having the Doomsday Clock.
Exactly. Well, we have all that, plus we still have all of your reviews and your previews. And even the TV reviews, which actually we can get into that next.
Mm-hmm.
So last week we had basically the penultimate episodes of the three CW shows.
Yep.
Supergirl, Flash, and Arrow.
It's coming to an end this season, but it's been one trip. One trip.
And the last week's episodes were crazy for all three of them. Those almost could have been
finales
on their own.
Yeah, I was hoping. I couldn't wait to see the other one, which was crazy. I was waiting for it and waiting for it, but I gotta wait till actually this week now.
Yeah. And actually, as the time of recording, Supergirl's was last night, and I still haven't seen it.
So I haven't
yet. As
soon
as we get done here, I'll probably be watching that while I'm editing and putting this up.
Same here. Well, from what happened last week, a lot of juicy stuff happened. We got some returns and some reveals from other characters.
Mm-hmm.
But Cat Grant is back.
Oh, yeah.
And she's bossy as ever.
That
was
fantastic to see Calista Flockhart back on here as Cat Grant.
And she's on our side. You're seeing her side that we used to not like in the first season, but now she's using it against the aliens. And it's like, see, this is what we were dealing with.
Exactly.
But she came back and she was trying to set up at least really get the alien queen of the Daxamites and the president of the of America back together to be
exactly.
on the good terms, try and say, hey, we're not guys. We don't need to fight over how big our stick is. I thought that was hilarious.
Exactly. That was that was a great reveal for her, too, because you get the President Marsden
mm-hmm.
on Air Force One heading to National City to figure out what's going on. And as she is sitting there, because what it is we're actually listening in on a conversation between her and the Queen of the Daxamites.
Mm-hmm.
But as they're talking back and forth, the DEO is actually intercepted and listening to the conversation. And out of nowhere, Cat Grant walks into the room with the president. Just like
she's been there the whole time, actually.
Well, now we know where she's been all year.
And one of the best things I saw in here, my mom didn't know who this was at the time. She knew this was Wonder Woman. She knew who the president was.
Yeah.
But she did not know that was Lois. I said, you remember Lois and Clark, right? She's like, yeah. I'm like, that's her.
Oh, she didn't know her Terry Hatcher?
This whole time, no. I was like, you see what's going on here, Mom? But anyways, I thought it was great to see them having a little beef of Lois Lane and Wonder Woman, a good little callback from the shows back in the day. One's good and one's bad. But also, what's going on here, the president's plane goes down, and it's very bad what happens to everyone else on there. But the lucky thing is, Supergirl does find out that the president is not her kind, but she is not from this Earth.
Yeah, well, yeah, we find out that the president, now, we knew a couple weeks ago, they had mentioned what race the president was,
right.
But the DEO now finds out that the president is actually from Durlan.
Yep, and we've talked about
the funny thing is, the plane is getting ready to go down, and you expect Supergirl's going to save the plane, because that's what she does. And no, she just saves Cat Grant, and everybody else can go boom.
Which
the press corps, all the staff,
after she
the
said,
president.
I didn't think the president could get any better, and then she doesn't save the president. I think you might want to save the president before you save Cat, me saying, who's more important here. But once the plane goes down, the president begins to move the scrap off of her, and she's like, oh.
Yeah, out of nowhere, just like sat down and was like, wow, this was a tragedy, and all of a sudden, wait. How did you survive this? And when she steps out, she's got her actual
alien
face out.
Her alien skin. And Kat, what does she say? Oh, please still... What'd she call her?
Yeah, please tell me you're still a Democrat.
Yeah,
out of the whole thing, that was Kat's reaction.
But Kat was great in this episode. I never thought I would say I like Kat this most out of every character in the show, but Kat stole it for me.
Yeah, Kat was awesome. But let me bring up the notes again. There you go. Now, Kat, they've basically set up since the DEO was attacked by the Durlans, and basically they've invaded the whole city now.
Yep.
The DEO has set up, it's funny, the DEO actually set up their resistance base in the Alien Bar.
Yeah.
Which still doesn't have a name, it's still just the Alien Bar.
What, is it going to just be called
Alien
Bar for
dive
the whole
bar.
Series?
That's the only thing they've ever referred to it as, is the Alien Dive Bar.
They need to give it a name, something very catchy.
Yeah.
But we find out that, Jimmy also is still helping them out, and he's doing his duty as Guardian. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the funny thing. Cat Grant is sitting outside the bar with Supergirl, not figuring out, hey, this is Kara Danvers.
No, you never know. She may actually know,
but she's
not going to
say
anything.
Well, she sure figured out who Jimmy was with the mask on.
Yeah, she knew who. She's like, I can see your eyes.
He's like, what are you talking about? Jimmy, stop acting. Okay.
You know what you didn't put in your notes?
What was it?
The Phantom Zone projector.
There we go. Well,
because you got to remember, in the comic books, Mon-El gets shot and gets lead poisoning, and that they have to actually put him into the Phantom Zone. That's how he ends up with the Legion later.
Okay.
Because the Legion eventually pulls him out of the Phantom Zone and cures him of the lead poisoning.
Okay. Okay, I forgot about that.
So it's like the big question is that as of this week's episode, are we going to lose Mon-El?
Do you think
we're
going to lose anybody?
We have the Phantom Zone projector.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if anybody's going to actually die in this episode or not.
They might not.
But we did get Cadmus teaming up with Supergirl and the DEO.
Yeah, oh man. Lex and Lena's mother came back, and I didn't trust her at all. And
you never trust her.
When she just first showed up, I said, I know she's going to help try to get her daughter back, even though she tried to put her in jail previously in this season. She's going to try to kill the rest of the aliens in this little plan she's got here. She's not just going to let them all come back home. I knew that was going to happen. And what do you know? She tries to kill the aliens once she gets Lena back on the world.
Mm-hmm.
But they were able to put some type of tracking device or some type of home device back on Cyborg Superman, and they got back home.
Yes, well, they had like a return device or something that he had the button and the Phantom Zone projector pulls you from wherever you were.
And he wasn't in control of himself, so now we do know he can be mind control, at least body control.
Superman?
No, Cyborg Superman.
Oh, Cyborg Superman, yeah. He's a cybernetic enhancements probably make it so that you can
really
just
easy
hack
to hack into him. Also, I thought it was really weird. I did not see this coming. Lena Luthor and Mon-El married.
Well, that's what the Queen of Daxam wants. I keep forgetting her name.
I just call it a queen. I've been calling her queen since the beginning.
Give me a minute while you keep talking.
But, yeah, so she wants them to get married, and she also wanted them to have a child to bear both worlds together.
Well, yeah, that's the classic
marriage.
When a lot of people have conquered other countries.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have one of your kids marry whoever was in charge of that country.
Right.
That way, your families are tied together.
Mm-hmm. But in this case, they're not like Earth. They can just have hair DNAs to make a child. So, this still is against their will, and they want to get off the ship, and that's what winds up happening at the end of this. But the thing is, the Queen does tell Supergirl at the end of the episode she did kill her husband.
Yeah.
I was hoping she would record that. I was hoping somebody had that on film, or Mon-El would pop in and hear that, because at that point, Mon-El would probably take down his own mother. But we do get a very big surprise at the very end of the episode. The Man of Steel comes back.
Yeah.
But not under the right control.
Yeah, somehow he's been mind-controlled, and he's now working for Rhea. That's the queen.
Okay, Rhea. So we don't know if he's going to get broken free from him in the beginning episode for next episode or later on, but I know he is going to come back with them from what we've seen in the
trailers. Well, we know he's back next, he's back the next, this episode for the finale. We know we're also going to somehow get Zod in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you look at the trailers and stuff, I guess it looks like Zod is actually, it's not actually Zod. It's the mind, it looks like it's probably the mind control, and Superman is seeing Zod when he's fighting Kara.
I see, okay.
He thinks he's fighting Zod.
But he's not. Something like what they did with Injustice with him fighting Tuesday.
That's exactly what I was... that's what I was... the couple places I heard about this, they were talking about that.
Okay.
That's basically what they did in Injustice, was the fact that you mind control him so that he thinks it's Doomsday, then you can beat the tar out of anybody
because
he thinks he's beating up Doomsday.
And he can do that to anyone. As you were saying, Superman's weakness isn't just kryptonite, it's his heart.
It's the people around him, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's really what happened to sum up what happened in Supergirl, and we have to wait till next week to see what they're going to do.
Exactly. Next up, we actually had Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
And Gotham's getting interesting.
It is. It's getting really good.
You're not a huge fan of Gotham. What do you think of where we're going so far? Are you starting to like it yet?
I'm beginning to understand it a little bit more. I wouldn't say so much like it, but it's keeping my interest of what they're doing with the show as a whole.
Okay.
And I think they're getting on the right track with branching off now from the comic books into their own show. And as you said, it's looking at it like an Elseworlds story.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm liking what they're doing. Gordon joined the Court of Owls, and Hugo Strange coming back, I thought was really cool.
It was cool to see Hugo Strange come back. That, and Hugo actually helps out Gordon and Bullock.
Yep. Yeah, I was getting, they were getting some help. If you've seen a trend, what's going on in this week of shows, characters are getting help from their villains.
Yeah. Well, that's, if you look at DC Comics since Rebirth.
Yeah, that too.
How many of the villains that we know as classic villains are actually working with the side of the Angels?
Atomic Skull, Cheetah.
Cheetah's working on the side, Atomic Skull, Clayface, Killer Frost, Lobo.
Out of all people.
Now, Lobo was never technically a villain.
No, but he was definitely not a hero.
He was on Lobo's side.
Yeah. But Batman, hey, when Batman asks you to do something, you really don't say no.
Exactly.
But, so Gordon joins the Court of Owls, officially. Not that they know he's having another plan under his sleeve here. And Hugo comes back, and as you said, he helps them. But the thing is, Hugo's doing a lot more testing on subjects once again.
Mm-hmm.
For the bad, not the good. And also, we got to see a lot of Bruce's training, too.
Yes, you get to see Bruce is training in the Himalayas, and it's the Court of Owls that stuck him out there.
Mm-hmm.
So the court is having him train to become Batman, which is interesting.
But,
I mean, they're not planning on him becoming Batman,
but
we
know that's
what's going to happen.
Right. And from what they did in the comic books recently, it would make perfect sense for that to be ironic that the Court of Owls are helping Batman do this before he even becomes Batman.
Yeah.
Very ironic. But now we also got Mad Hatter.
Yes, we got to look at Mad Hatter. We got the Executioner's back.
Mm-hmm.
They're bringing back everybody from the season and kind of bringing it full circle.
Yep. This feels like a Gotham. Feels like Arkham's.
like one of the Arkham games? Is that what you're saying? Yeah.
When you get to see a glimpse of every other character just popping up in his rose gallery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we also got to see Firefly helping them.
Yes. Well, get to see Penguin advancing his idea and he wants to kill the Riddler because Nygma tried to kill him.
Oh, man, I'm forgetting the character, the bald guy that they had in the last season. He was getting, did he get experimented on? Do we know what exactly happened?
You're talking about Michael Chiklis?
Yes.
Yeah, the Executioner.
Okay.
Yeah, he has the Alice Tesh virus, remember? He got the drop of blood in his eye.
Okay, because
and he has the Alice Tesh virus, that's the problem.
Like I said, I haven't watched every single episode this season, so some things I'm like, what's going on
here? He has the virus from Alice.
Okay. Well, that's
which is why it basically takes all his inhibitions away, and he's all about justice. He doesn't care how you do it. He's on going to the extreme for it.
I wonder which one I'm going to like better, what they're doing with him in here as Executioner or the one in the animated series, because they both of them were very crazy.
I don't know.
But there's a bomb that's going to go off.
Yes.
And they're going to try to stop that. And, of course, Gordon comes in.
Well, yeah. The court had Dr. Hugo Strange weaponize the Alice Tesh virus by making it airborne.
Mm-hmm.
So they were going to test it in a small socialite dinner type deal. And they put a bomb that when it goes off, it's going to spread the virus. And of course, Gordon finds out what's going on, and they end up with the help of Firefly and was it Poison Ivy that was with them too?
Was it? I just remember Firefly. I was trying to skip.
Okay, I thought there was one other person
really
there. Well, yeah,
this
is
the last show I watched this week.
Gordon called Penguin and said, "Hey, yep. I know what's going on here. I need help, basically." And Penguin sends Firefly to help.
I like how Penguin just staying in his zone of where he should be. He's always yeah. there. If it's something to benefit him, he'll do it, even if it is to help someone else.
Exactly. But on the other side of this, though, also, we didn't mention this last week, but Selena got shoved out a window last week.
Oh, yes,
and
right.
we totally missed it on our review of Gotham last week that she had the classic Catwoman origin.
Or rebirth.
Death, the rebirth.
Whatever you want to call it.
She gets chucked out a window into the alley, and the cats start licking her to wake her up.
And we've seen that in a couple films now and animated series.
Exactly. So, in this one, we get Poison Ivy has actually, through her perfume, pheromones, basically talked everybody into letting her have access to Selena's room, and she's filled it with plants.
Of course. All the green.
Exactly.
They're going to have a beef some here soon here. It's going to be the sirens a little bit.
Yeah, probably.
They might even become partners for all we know.
They will probably a little bit, so, I mean, Poison Ivy's always had a thing with Selena. Selena's one of her best friends.
Right, same as Harley, but we haven't got there yet.
Mm-hmm. So, was there anything else that happened on Gotham?
Nothing too big. Gordon was telling Leslie about everything that he plans on doing and knowing that he's not actually evil, and he's...
And, of course, she still doesn't believe him.
Yeah, it's Gordon, you... Come on, it's Gordon.
See, I'm not liking Dr. Thompson this one. I mean,
yeah.
Dr. Thompson that I know mostly was from the Batman animated series. Mm-hmm. And this, she doesn't feel like the Thompson from there. Obviously, it's their own take
different
on the character,
yeah.
But
I mean, I guess they never really dated in the comic books or the cartoon either.
No.
So this is a completely new take on it.
Well, that's because, like we said, this is an Elseworlds.
Mm-hmm. But Leslie, hopefully she doesn't mess up anything and screw up any plans Gordon has for the future.
Yeah.
That would be very bad. But
that brings us over to Flash.
Yeah.
Now, Flash, I thought, was awesome.
There was two separate
episodes.
Yeah, we could go on for probably about another half an hour just on the Flash episode.
Yeah, basically it felt like the first half and second half were totally separate.
Mm-hmm.
The first half, you get a heist movie.
Yep.
Because they found out that the power source they need for the Speed Force bazooka...
Is in Argus.
Is at Argus.
Yeah.
Argus. They go to talk to,
Diggle's wife. see, this is great, guys. Let's see.
And you guys are yelling at your phones and such right now. But they go in and talk to her, and she said, yes, we have the power source you need, and no, you cannot have it. I don't trust you. Lila.
but
I remember right as you brought it up.
Now, yeah, I didn't like what Lila was doing here. The more and more I'm seeing her in the Arrow and the Flash right now, she is becoming more like Amanda Waller.
Yeah.
And I understand to be in control of this, you need that attitude and you need to be the boss lady. But these are also her friends.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure Amanda Waller even had friends in high places she would help out.
Some, I don't know. I think she would help them out
if it worked well
for her, yeah.
But as I said, you don't think so because she never met her, but I truly feel the reason why she didn't want to help Barry. She doesn't trust Barry because of what he did in the past from the beginning of this season.
Remember, at the result of Flashpoint is she no longer has a daughter, now she has a son.
Right, and he screwed up everybody else's lives too besides theirs, so she's like, as you said, Barry, I can't trust you with this.
Yeah. I don't think it has anything to do with the baby. She even says that it had nothing to do with
just
not having a daughter have a son. Well, wait a
mean,
minute. Because she said, I never even knew I had a daughter, so why would it matter?
Because now you know you would have had a daughter if you wouldn't have went back in the past. I truly feel she was just holding that against him.
Well, since he's not allowed to get the power source, he ends up going back to season one of Legends of Tomorrow and travels to the past again.
Four.
To pick up Captain Cold, Leonard Snart from
back.
Season one of Legends in Siberia in 1890.
Yes, now I thought it was really funny that we got the whole Siberia reference because that's where we got the female Firestorm. Remember?
I'll have to go back and check that.
That was when Stein didn't fuse with Jax at the time. He fused with whatever, I forget her name, but she was working for the bad guys, and they wanted to become the nuclear man, but I guess the nuclear woman in this case. And as he told her, you can't control that, and she wound up blowing herself up.
Yeah.
But Snart had a big big thing to do with that, because he was on the inside trying to talk to her and talk her out of it, and this is where I think where they got her from. So it was funny to see this connection.
So, but you get Captain Cold to come back to help him break into Argus, because they found out Argus has metahuman dampeners, which is the first time I've heard of those.
Yeah.
So that Barry cannot use his powers in Argus. So Captain Cold and Barry have to break into the Argus.
The old-fashioned way.
That's right.
Now, since we're talking about them breaking into Argus, I did want to put in here, Barry was using the face changer.
Yeah, which actually ties into the end of this, possibly.
Possibly. We
and
don't
actually,
know.
It wasn't just a face changer. If you
everywhere.
Look at it, it looked like he had a whole body change.
Yeah. Well, when he changed it back, he did have a whole body change. I'm like, that's not a, it's not Barry's body right there.
Yeah.
That's definitely Lila. When for a second, I thought it was Lila. Mm-hmm. For a quick second. But also, while they were in Argus, we got a lot of Easter eggs to Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys caught this stuff, and I'll let you get the draws.
And some of this was actually on the walls when they walked through the jail cells.
Yep. We got King Shark, of course. He was in the episode. Mm-hmm. But we also got a name with Cupid, Cheetah, and Grodd. Now,
I didn't remember. Did they actually... Was Grodd left on... I thought Grodd was taken back to Gorilla City.
Grodd was left here.
Okay.
So he wouldn't go back to Gorilla City.
That's okay, like, so the, yeah, then he was put in Argus prison, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting that you got someone like Grodd, and why would they put him here, but Deathstroke they put out on the island?
I don't
and
know.
Actually, as we'll get into Arrow, it looks like Deathstroke is the only one out on the island.
Yeah, which makes sense for him.
Yeah.
The thing for Grodd, though, would you want Grodd on an island with animals?
Well, as long as no one goes near that island, you're okay.
He have his own Gorilla City?
That's right.
Let him be peaceful. But we got all these references. Now, as I said, this is the maybe a Suicide Squad for the next season. And Lila
possibly
could be the one in charge of them, since this is taking a different take on them.
Yeah.
Now, in the new...
Well, the interesting one is they actually put Cheetah on the wall. And we've never even heard of Cheetah in this universe.
Right. This is new. I'm thinking probably because of what they're doing with the comic books right now. And she's in the new Injustice game. As we said, with DC, if they're in some form of media, they're going
to try
be
to put
in
them everywhere,
else.
Yeah.
Which I think is great. I can't wait to see what she's going to look like. Is she going to be CGI, or is she just going to have the powers of a cheetah? Or what's going to happen?
I don't know if we'll ever actually get the payoff for it. Because remember, we got Harley in here from the back of her head.
True.
And Tara Strong's voice, but that's it.
That was it.
But that's the only time we'll ever see her.
And that was in season one, correct?
I don't remember.
Season one or season two, and at the time, I don't think they were as big on expanding universes as they are now. I think now...
Well, that's
did,
why they changed it and why we lost the Suicide Squad to start with, because they made the movie.
Right. But now, from what it looks like, they know just because you can have a Suicide Squad movie don't mean you still can't have a Suicide Squad on TV, which I'm happy about. But as this goes on, you said you saw some Jaws references.
Well, saw some? Now,
they
finally,
were in there.
They passed all of these... And they get to this room that's sealed up and locked down, this vault that has the power source in it, which is all fine. They look in, they wow, okay, we can do this. And then all of a sudden, Killer Shark walks by. So it looks like Argus has a new guard.
Yep. And I didn't think about this. Then his hand gets frozen off by Captain Cold's gun and breaks off, and he grows it right on back.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Or gets cut off by
it's
a door.
Weird. But
good guard. Good
Captain
guard.
Cold ends up. Picking the lock to the and they found out, hey, wait a minute. Sharks need warm water, because if they get in the cold water, they start to go to sleep.
Yeah.
So they lower the temperature of the room to put him to sleep. And there's this low fog all over the room. So when they break into the room, they're looking, okay, where did King Shark go? Then you see this fin come up out of the fog and drop back down into the fog.
Classic.
Yeah.
Every time they put King Shark on here, you always get a Jaws reference. But the thing that got me with Barry is, Barry's willing to do now anything he has to stop Iris from dying. Meaning even if he has to kill Killer Shark, or King Shark. But as we got, the voice of reason was Captain Cold instead of Barry.
Yeah. And the whole time he's giving Barry options like, well, you can kill him, and that's all we got to do. And giving him options like, well, here's the, which side are you going to go? Are you going to stay on the side of the good guys, or are you going to move on to my side and the side of the bad guys?
And Captain Cold, I'm just going to put this
Captain
out
Cold
here.
Knows
Captain
what he's going to do.
Captain Cold's not a bad, here's my thing, he's a villain, but he's not the worst villain, he's not really a bad guy. I don't see Captain Cold as a bad guy. Even playing the Injustice game, his motives, he's a code of honor. Yeah.
He's a thief.
Yeah, that's it. But at the end of all this, we get to see Savitar pull the wool over their eyes.
Yes. Well, as Captain Cold and Barry are raiding Argus, they've gave Wally and Joe have to go hide Iris, but don't tell Barry where she is.
Exactly.
So they decided, hey, we'll take her to Earth, too.
Why not? No one will
take
find
her, over
her there.
And Harry's working on a gun or something in the room with the portal. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, the portal opens up and they pop out. He's like, wait a minute.
What are you
doing?
Why
are you here?
Yeah. And in this moment, we also got a little nice father-daughter conversation between Joe and Iris. From when they were younger, how he lied to her about certain things. She lied to him about certain things about Barry, but still they always had that family aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And as this happens, we get to see the Flash come back into Star Labs.
Yeah.
And
Flash, and it's Barry. Barry looks, says straight up, okay, hey, where's Iris?
Mm-hmm.
And HR, without missing a beat, is like, oh, Joe and Wally took it over to Earth 2. After, yeah, you gotta remember, Barry had told all of them,
don't tell me where she is.
Because as soon as he says that, Barry turns and looks at them, and he's got the scarred face. It's Savitar.
It's like, oh, crap. So, HR tells everything, and at this point, HR feels like crap because now he's really ruined.
Exactly. He realizes that, in his mind, he's just killed Iris.
Yeah. And he goes off about this. The only one that really can calm him down is Sisko. Now, this is where you were saying this could have been the device that the face changer
was
used
for. We finally get to the end, because this whole episode, you're getting 25 hours till Iris dies, 15 hours till Iris dies, a countdown the whole time. So we get the final scene that you're expecting to see at the end of the Flash finale happens here, and Savitar kills Iris.
Yeah, just what we saw...
We've seen it multiple times this season.
Yeah,
with the flash forwards and stuff.
And this was the exact same thing that happened. The Killer Cross, the everything.
So, but the question is, we know at this point Iris isn't dead. There ain't no way, because we still have a whole nother episode.
She could be dead right now, or this could be her.
Was that Iris?
That's what I was going to say. Or could this be HR disguising himself as Iris? So. He feels guilty.
If not HR, someone else possibly using that same tech.
Yeah, for now, at least we know it's not Joe.
We know it's not Joe because Joe watched it happen.
Right.
It was interesting because, remember, in one of the flash forwards that Vibe gave him, Harrison Wells was actually up on the roof with a gun. We never saw that this time.
You're right. We didn't.
There was a couple of other discrepancies, too.
I didn't pick up on that. So maybe it was HR. I didn't even think about that. I thought it was Joe. I knew
also,
somebody was up there with a gun.
If you remember, the HR that was up on top of the roof did not look like HR Wells. It looked like Harry. It was the gun Harry carries.
Mm, okay. But now, because they went to Earth 2 and Joe got it, he used it. Or tried to use it. And it would have worked, too, except for Savitar had the stone.
Yeah.
So, no effect on him.
Mm-hmm.
But as of right now, guys, Iris is dead. This is what they've been leading up to for the whole season. But we have one more episode to figure out, was that really her, or can they bring her back if that was her? What's going to happen here?
Yeah, she's it's going to be interesting dead. To see what the way this goes.
And so I heard from somewhere online, somebody said, what if Barry dies at the end of this season and comes back in the beginning of next season?
How would he come back?
I have not. Like I said, this is what somebody said, but maybe
The other theory I heard was possibly that instead of locking Savitar into the Speed Force, he does something that causes Savitar to disappear, but as he defeats Savitar, he gets locked in the Speed Force.
That was another thing I heard, too.
Which would be interesting, because you gotta remember, during Crisis of Infinite Earths, he had never crossed... That was the one limit that he had ever, was he could never go faster than the speed of light.
Mm-hmm.
Well, during Crisis, he does have to go push himself, and when he does turn, he turns to pure energy and joins the Speed Force.
Yep, and he goes away
and then
for about 20 years
on our time, he's gone.
He's
That's where we get Wally West as the Flash.
Yep.
You get all kinds of these things happening in between until Jeff Johns brought him back in the mid-2000s during Rebirth. So now are we going to get that? Are we going to have, because we've done Flashpoint already, so are we going to get Barry becoming one with the Speed Force?
The only downside I have about that for me is the same thing we have with Flashpoint. Like I said, Flashpoint is this big event that happened in the books, and we got it for about an episode in the show.
Yeah.
So if they do this, I wouldn't be surprised, but I would like if they did leave Barry out for a little bit.
Leave him out and let Wally maybe take over as the Flash for a little
bit. Yeah, just give us that, just for a little bit. And then have bring Barry back maybe like two or three episodes later.
But we don't know... I don't know. Depends on... Titans is still going to be for a while. But the problem is, if you let Wally move up to Flash, could you really ever get him to come... Would it really be right to ever put him back as Kid Flash?
You could. You could give him some more powers that work for
a
time.
But no, I'm saying, would it be right to go back to that name, Kid Flash?
If he had to. Because there wouldn't be a Flash, maybe. Because
you got to remember, in the comic books right now, you have two Wally Wests. You actually, Wally West is Kid Flash, but...
And then the Flash...
The adult Wally West is just the Flash.
And then you
have two guys
two
that
Flashes.
Are the Flash.
Right. So Wally's playing just a big role right now in the comic books. But they might. I don't think they're going to give him that much power yet. I think it would be pretty cool if they did. I like Wally.
Yeah, well, you got to remember, in the comic books, Wally was faster than Barry.
Yes, and we've seen that in here, too.
Yeah.
As they said before, Wally is faster than Barry, even in the show. He just doesn't know how to use his powers as well as Barry. Now, if he puts a combination between that, he will be better than Barry. But
so,
we'll see in next episode how this all plans out.
Mm-hmm. And then we have, for the last episode from this week, we had Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
Also the penultimate episode.
Yep.
And Arrow loses his team and builds a new team in this episode.
Very fast, with some very unexpected characters.
Exactly. Prometheus is getting... is still in Argus. They remember he was captured last week, but it looked like he was right where he wanted to be.
Yep.
So he tells Ollie, when he's about to get transferred out of holding into the actual prison, that, you know what? You're going to let me out of this prison before I get on the helicopter.
But what are you going to do to make me do this for you? He doesn't like him. He's not going to just do this willingly, but you know Prometheus is always a step ahead of him every time.
Yeah. Well, what... Then he says, well, just make sure you answer your phone here in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, what? And Ollie's like, okay, what? Okay. So as they're moving Prometheus, Ollie gets a phone call. And looks, it's a video of his son.
Yep.
That everybody thought was safe because no one could find him.
But, of course, as he said, he's always one step ahead of him. He will always...
Exactly. Prometheus had a plan the whole time.
Mm-hmm. And then this is when Ollie has to think, crap, now I can't help my friends
because
his friends are kidnapped right now.
Because he said the message is that if Adrian is put on that helicopter, William dies.
Right. And he can't get any help from his friends except for Wild Dog. We don't know. He's in a slump right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, Quentin, Speedy, Diggle.
Yeah,
Felicity,
someone has been actually. It was Artemis and
Black
Talia.
Siren. Oh.
Talia, Artemis, and Black Siren came back this week. All of them are working with Adrian Chase.
And this is what messed up Quentin was throwing him off guard. He didn't know that his daughter... He didn't know that there was these doppelgangers.
No, he didn't. And he didn't realize... Or he didn't... Had never... Obviously, he had never been told that Black Siren was on our Earth.
Right. The funny thing was, when I was watching my mom, we were listening to Thea try to explain this to Quentin, and we're laughing because he's like...
Well, no, he knew about the multiple Earths. They don't told
him
about
that. Did he know
about that? He did not know that Laurel had a doppelganger.
Okay, the thing that got us laughing was when he said, oh, you're talking crazy. She's like, talking crazy. We know aliens, different Earths, but this is crazy. It's like,
yeah
I guess you're right. So once he found out that that really wasn't his daughter, he knows this wouldn't be her. She wouldn't do this for him.
Yeah.
He said his daughter would never be this stupid to even trust a guy like him. But as she even said, this was hard for her to do, to see her father in shackles, because even though it's in different Earth, that was still is her father.
That's her, yeah, still her dad.
Looks just like her dad, at least. But because his friends are kidnapped, Ollie does have to get some help from some other villains.
He starts building his own team now that his team is captured.
Right.
And you look at, you find out that they're all being kept on Leon U. Everything goes back to the island.
Mm-hmm.
Always goes back to the island.
And this is what I was saying previously, when Diggle's trying to tell Ollie, this isn't your fault. People don't get hurt around you. Diggle, stop sugarcoating it. It does.
Yeah.
This is always going to lead back to Ollie. He's going to have to learn how to deal with it. But also, the thing that I always... Anytime Thea's in trouble, you know Ollie doesn't have to come and ask him for help. He'll be there. He loves his daughter.
Merlin
was the first
shows
one
up
there.
First.
Yeah. And he's like, look here, dude. We got to stop this. The way he's like, my daughter's in trouble. You got to protect her a little bit more. But he also gets help from the other Al Ghul daughter.
Yes.
Nessa comes back. Nessa?
I think it's Nessa. Either way.
It's Nessa. Anyways, she comes back. Tell her Al Ghul daughter. So now he's working with his rival's daughter. His rival.
Yeah, and it's great as she walks in as Merlin's standing there and says, hello, husband.
Yeah. It's like, oh, yeah.
Talking about Ollie.
That's right. That
remember, she and Ollie were
married.
Supposed to,
supposed to get married in season four. Was that last season?
Yeah. And, well, the funny thing is,
yeah, man,
Ollie's are supposed to be her husband, and she stole the title of Raish from...
Right.
Because well, isn't she the Raish now?
I think that was season before. I think that was season three.
But isn't she the Raish now? If I remember.
Yeah, because
she
of what happened.
She took the spot
from
Merlin.
Yeah.
Merlin's like, fine, you can have it.
And then with all this going down, they get back to the island, and Chase has this plan set up to kill... Well, do we know exactly what he's doing
I don't think we know
yet?
What his full final plan is.
But he's got everything set up, and we're ready for the son, his friends, and this is where Ollie says, you know what, I need help from one more person.
Yeah, he needs one more person to help, and they get to the island, and first thing he does is go to the prison on the island and grab Slade Wilson.
He's been there for a while.
The funny thing is, he's stuck in this hole in the island, in this prison cell. You never see anybody else around.
Nope.
Who's feeding him?
That's what I was thinking.
Who's fucking out his cell? Because eventually, if you feed him, he's going to have other things happening.
Exactly.
And that needs cleaned out also.
That's the one thing my brain went to. I was like, there's no bucket, there's no bowl, they're just him with his eye patch on. Don't ask questions, we don't want to know.
Yeah. How long has this guy been sitting there starving?
Poor guy.
And he's ready to fight for Ollie.
Whatever. But that wrapped up Arrow. I was going to say we can do a little bit of a callback, but there wasn't really too much. I mean, there was some stuff that happened with him and the KG Beast tie-in.
Yeah.
But Ollie once again defeats his demons. Mm-hmm. They put on this drug to make him remember everything, where his scars came from, to torture him really all over again. And he left him with a bullet. And he said, when you go crazy enough, you don't want to use that bullet on me, you're going to want to use it on yourself. But Ollie
breaks
free.
He said, most people, within the first 20 minutes, use the bullet.
Mm-hmm. But Ollie being Ollie and strong will, he doesn't do it. He shoots the gun.
The lock on the cell.
Mm-hmm. And he gets free.
Exactly.
And that's really all we know from it happening. We'll mm-hmm. see more of that in the next one. But that wrapped up Arrow. Great episode. Can't wait for all these episodes this
yeah.
week, building up for
Supergirl, Flash, and Arrow end this week.
Mm-hmm.
Gotham, I think, has
another
3 weeks.
Yeah. 2 to 3. And the CW will be over.
Yes, they'll be for this season. But next season, we have some huge things coming.
Oh, yeah.
Including Black Lightning. We've already mentioned Black Lightning's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got the trailer for it this week.
Yep.
And I'm actually going to watch the trailer while we're talking about it here.
Okay.
So, I don't know. Can you see it there?
I'm pulling up, too. I was trying to sync
okay.
it, but
now
I can still see it.
The trailer starts back in 2005, and it shows Black Lightning when he was originally a hero.
Mm-hmm.
And pulling power and fighting the bad guys and all of these things. And it shows, well, wait. He's recovering from the fight, bleeding all over the place, and his wife finds him in the bathtub. You find out he had told his wife, or his wife said, you can't do this anymore. We have a family now. So he promises her to give up Black Lightning for the safety of his family.
Right. Which, him being a family man, he'll do whatever he needs to protect
exactly.
them, because protecting the city is one thing. Protecting what you have, that you've made, is something way bigger.
Then we jump ahead to 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And you see him skating with his daughters, talking to his daughters about being protective mm-hmm. and being a father. They show him walking down the hallway of the school, because he's the principal of the school.
Yeah, principal of the year, too.
Yes. Well, then you see also that the city has actually started moving backwards crime-wise.
Because he hasn't been
since
there to
he's not
them.
Been there to protect it. The gangs are starting to get out of control again. Crime rate is through the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And all these things that he could do, and this is what he was doing. But he chose his family over being a hero.
Right.
Which is the right choice. I mean,
it
you
is.
Can't fault him for that.
But over time, things are going to go back to the way they were before you had your family.
Yeah. But it looks like at this point, because all these scenes are from the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
And the gang comes in, and it looks like they kidnap his daughter, is what it looked like there, from school. They just walk right into the school, take it and leave, and then you see him back in a brand new suit.
Right.
Taking out the gang. And they're all in this, like, no-tell motel.
And he's throwing hands to them, by the way, too. His
oh,
suit's
yeah, he's
new.
Beating the tar out of them.
And he catches the bullet, which I thought was really good, and he's like, basically, now you done pissed me off.
Yeah.
So, also, one thing I want to point out in here, now, the suit they had in 2005 looks just like the suit from straight out of the comic books.
Yeah.
And you can see he had to put an upgrade to it.
And the new one is a newer, more high-tech suit.
Mm-hmm. And you can see his daughters are also getting some power in this,
uh-huh.
just like
they're
they did in the
comic books.
They're
starting to develop their powers.
As if I'm correct, they were called Thunder and Lightning.
Yes. I think so, too. That's what it said before.
But he's taking them out in the motel, and he's beating them up, and now...
This is high action. But the last scene here they show with the guy, he's actually using his lightning to hold the head gangster off the second-story balcony of the motel and over this car, and he says, hey, is that your car?
It was nice.
It was nice. He smashes the guy down on the roof of his car. So, and then he talks... Then the last scene is just him talking to his daughters. It looks like it's going to be an amazing show.
Mm-hmm.
This is what everything they said it was. It is a African-American comedy.
Yes,
I would say
is.
A black comedy, but that has a different connotation to it.
Yeah. Like I said, for me, this
Or not
feels
comedy, but drama.
Comic drama. Yeah. It's a comic book drama. But the thing about this show for me is it's reminding me heavily of what I saw in the Static Shock cartoon.
Yeah.
Or animated series when I was younger.
That makes me wonder, was Static Shock originally based on Black Lightning? Even though it was a different company.
Right, that's
why. But is that
why.
Where they got the idea for Static Shock?
It could have been
because Black Lightning was around first.
Right. Now, I don't know. Like I said, the only origin I know of Black Lightning was with the Outsiders. But as time went by, he began to become his own character. Now, I don't know if that's where they did get the Static Shock story from, or Static Shock story was more based with him, and they took this from there. I don't know, but I just got that glimpse of it. Now, they're in Detroit, too, correct? Was that, is this the city?
I think this one was Detroit, yeah.
Static Shock was in Detroit. I think it was
in
Detroit.
I don't know. Let me look.
But it seemed very similar, and I was getting that same feel from them, and I always said if there was going to be a Teen Titan psychic that needed a hero to look up to, Black Lightning would have been Static Shock. So I'm fine with this, and this show looks great. I can't wait for it. And then also, all this looked like it came from the pilot, didn't it?
Yeah, this was, they've not like the filmed anything else yet.
So with this trailer being so action-packed, we know we're going to get some heavy stuff. This is going to go and fit in perfect what we're going to get with Flash, Arrow, and Supergirl, and Legends.
Now, I think I've heard from somewhere that this is actually not, this is not actually in the Flare universe yet.
Yeah.
But Supergirl wasn't originally either.
Exactly. And we knew that was going to come. We knew once she got moved over to CW, she was going to be in there somewhere.
Yeah.
I feel the same way now about Black Lightning.
But it looks like as of right now, this is going to be, taking place in the in its own universe.
Okay.
Give me just a minute. Black Lightning.
I truly...
It says Brick City in the TV.
Brick City,
or
okay.
In the thing.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll find out. But because DC, a lot of time, for most of their heroes, likes to create their own cities.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't happen all the time. Look at Cyborg is in Detroit.
Detroit, yeah.
Vixen was from Detroit.
Right.
So,
And they do have they do have real cities, but most times the major hero, they're going to have their own city.
Exactly.
Now, that brings us also to where we're going to get in some Cinemax news.
Oh, yeah. Now we got to get some movie news. DC actually this week, basically, technically they say they rebooted their movie lineup. Really? They've just set the dates. They had to reset some of the dates because we know there's been a lot of problems with The Flash.
Mm-hmm.
And actually that brings us a little bit to The Flash here too. They've actually got two directors that have been announced as they're being talked about possibly doing The Flash movie still. It's interesting because they're talking Robert Zemeckis.
Mm-hmm.
Who's been making movies since he made some fantastic movies back in the 80s and stuff.
Yep, and from what we got with The Flash coming into the 90s, that he was in the perfect era, I think, of the transitioning from what Superman to Batman to having The Flash show. It's like a perfect era to see where the superheroes were coming from at the time to what they are now with the other guy. Now, is that Sam Raimi? Who's going to be on there, the other one? Director.
Now, yeah, there we go. Yes, it was. That's what I thought. Robert Zemeckis was the man who brought us all the Back to the Future movies.
Oh,
the Polar Express.
Perfect. Well, that's Back to the Future. Now, we all know from seeing The Flash show how much Flash
is. Yeah, how much time travel there is in it.
Okay.
You can't get much steeped in geekdom than Back to the Future.
No, you can't.
But the other one is, where's his name? The first name is what I'm not. Oh, wait, wrong story.
Matthew Vaughn.
Was it Matthew Vaughn?
Yeah.
Now,
what did he do?
Yeah, Matthew Vaughn. Well, he's the director for The Kingsman.
Okay. So he has other ties with him. Now,
which is a comic book movie.
Now, in another article, it's not in this one, I guess that was, at the time I heard about it, it was a rumor. I thought that Sam Raimi might be attached to this, but from what I'm
seeing here, so.
That was a rumor, straight up rumor. But all the names that they said has somehow something to do with a comic book character or time travel, which is perfect for The Flash.
Yeah.
And as I said, I really think Ezra Miller will do a great Flash. The only problem...
Matthew Vaughn did X-Men First Class,
oh,
Kick-Ass,
God.
Kingsman, what else he's got on here? I mean, this is another comic book guy.
Okay, so all the names that they were pulling from have had experience with doing superhero movies before.
He was a producer on... Well, no, we're not going to talk that one. the new Fantastic Four, he was one of the producers.
That's not their fault. It was the studio.
Yeah, well.
But we're not going to get on that issue.
That's for another company.
Mm-hmm. But the project looks good so far, if this is going to happen. And I hope they actually stay in key here and everything yeah. goes well. No
so
more
one of these
out.
Two guys could probably do, would be able to do fantastic for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But back to the other ones. And actually, we have another piece of news for this first. The first movie we're getting, we know,
mm-hmm.
is going to be Wonder Woman.
Yes.
That's coming out next week.
Mm-hmm. Man, that happened quick.
That's next week.
We got to wear our tickets.
Yeah, we got to order our tickets. We got to decide where we're going to see it.
Yes.
And I don't know, we may have to do some Facebook Living from the theater or something.
Yeah. Just so us in
but
line.
The next one after that, on November 17th of this year, we're getting Justice League Part 1. Yep. Now, we actually have some news about Justice League, some major changes
Very
in Justice League behind the scenes.
Very big changes happening later on in the show.
Now, they kept it under wraps as much as possible, but as of last night, we're recording this on Tuesday. As of Monday night, late night, Warner Brothers announced Joss Whedon, or not Joss Whedon, but Zack Snyder is stepping away from Justice League.
Now, also,
it has nothing to do with the studio or the film.
No, I was also going to say, also, Zack Snyder's wife was a co-producer on this,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, so she's taking some time off of it, too.
Yeah, both of them are.
What it is they had a major loss in their family.
Tragedy. This was sad.
Yeah, I'm not going to go too deep into that because that's a family matter. And all of our condolences and everything for the Snyder family. This happened a little bit ago, but any death in the family is a rough, rough thing.
And I've been looking online today. Hollywood pours their hearts out for them, everybody, in the DC community.
They tried to keep this as private as they could for as long as they could. There's too much stuff going on, so they have to step away.
And if you remember in March, we were getting all these rumors saying, oh, they're doing reshoots, oh, they're postponing it, and people were just saying, oh, man, we don't know what's going to happen. The Justice League movie is going to be bad again. But after hearing this news,
this makes sense on what some of that is. It looks like
the hate has kind of died down.
It doesn't look like the reshoots and stuff, or it looks like this major change that we're finding out about now
mm-hmm.
may have happened as far back as March.
Yeah, that's why I'm thinking.
Well, remember
too.
A couple weeks ago we heard rumors that Joss Whedon was throwing around ideas for doing some DC stuff.
Right, and we were thinking, well, the only thing he's attached to is Batgirl, with like maybe Gotham Sirens or something.
Yeah,
we didn't know.
Well, no, he is now director of Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
He took up where Zack Snyder had to step out to take care of the family issues.
Yep.
Joss Whedon has stepped in to take over Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
Now, principal photography, I believe, is already done.
Mm-hmm.
So it's mostly the post-production and then some stuff to flesh out characters, some not really as much reshoots, but additional scenes.
Right. Now, this is as we said, for every tragedy, there's usually something good that can come out of it. There's usually mm-hmm. a shining light. What happened to Zack Snyder's family's tragedy was very sad. Now, that's the sad part, but far as the movie needs to continue, there's nobody else better, I think, to take up this mantle than Joss Whedon.
Exactly.
He's the guy that brought us one of the best comic book movies in time period.
Yeah, well, you gotta think, it goes all the way back to Buffy.
Buffy
was amazing.
Yeah.
Angel was amazing.
Yeah. A
Firefly. One of the greatest things he ever did was, in my opinion, was Firefly.
Yeah.
And that one there,
that was very
fans
team
were
oriented.
So huge on that that, and that was all of those were ensemble casts, which is what Justice League is.
Mm-hmm.
And Joss Whedon is a comic book guy. Look at Avengers 2, and some of the other things he's done. I mean, this guy is a geek. He's one of us.
Mm-hmm. And he's now going to be the one to step in and finish the movie.
Exactly.
And I don't know how far of the reshoots they're going to do, because from what I heard, they're making some pretty big ones. Like I said, I don't know if this is a rumor. Take this with a grain of salt. But from what I've heard from resources, they could almost remake the movie from all the reshoots they were doing.
Oh, cool. Well,
so,
hopefully,
I don't know
brighten up the color palette. Well, if they brighten up the color palette, that'll mm-hmm. help a lot.
Yeah. And Justice League doesn't need to be the dark, grim thing, because whatever we've seen in Wonder Woman. And by the way, guys, Wonder Woman reviews came in. I'm not going to talk about any spoilers, because I don't know any spoilers. I want to stay away from them. But on IMDb.
Internet Movie Database.
I don't like them sometimes. Because of what happened in the past with DC.
They're great information.
Yeah. Well, they have it's a 7.9 on there for Wonder Woman right now.
Okay. IMDb is not usually known for their ratings as much, though.
No, but when they gave Batman vs. Superman, we know they didn't give them a high one. So giving Wonder Woman this high of a
Most
rating,
people go to Rotten Tomatoes, but that doesn't always work, because
those guys are crazy and they get paid to be critics.
Mm-hmm.
The other website's more so fans that have seen the movie, and they're giving what they liked about it, and so far it's pretty high.
Yeah. Well, we know we got Wonder Woman in 2 weeks. Like I said, Justice League is coming November of 2017. Mm-hmm. This year, November. The next one up is Aquaman,
which is coming out next
year. If you watch the Twitter for the different actors from Aquaman, mm-hmm. there's been some great photos out there. We saw it.
Oh, man.
Got some
Mira looks like she was ripped straight out of the comic books.
Exactly. We've already seen Aquaman from Batman v Superman and then from other stuff. This looks like it's going
to
be fun.
Oh, yeah. I can't. To be honest with you, like I said, to all the reshoots and stuff, I didn't really know what way the Justice League movie was going to tie in. But in my opinion, I'm thinking the solo films are definitely going to be good. Aquaman, Wonder Woman, The Flash, from what it sounds like, they're going to be phenomenal.
Well, Flash could be phenomenal, depending on how they're allowed to make it.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that I still say that the problems with The Flash has been the studio saying this is the way we want it, and the director says that's not The Flash.
All I need to do is watch a TV show. Yeah. Some of the combos.
They're killing it there.
And there you go. That's all you need.
Well, the next one up after Aquaman is December 21st, 28. Dude, that's like 2 days before my birthday.
Hey, you need to go get a little birthday present.
I got Aquaman
present.
No. That's a week after Star Wars.
Is it?
That's a week after episode.
You're going to have a great month. You're going to have a good month.
2017.
It's the 18th.
No. Han Solo doesn't come out. Okay, Han Solo's got bumped ahead there, so no.
Oh, okay.
That should be a week after Star Wars, but it's not. I believe episode 9 is actually coming out in May.
Okay.
Of 2019. So, but we get Aquaman, which is great. I mean, if Star Wars moved, that gives them, I don't know what else is coming out that month. That may be the big release for the month.
For now, unless they want to change it, because we do know they did change Wonder Woman because of what everything is happening in March.
Yeah.
There's too many movies, but now June is a great spot for her.
Mm-hmm. Well, the next one up after that is into 2019. We actually have three movies that are supposed to be released in 2019. We get Gotham City Sirens, which we knew was coming. That's going to be Harley Quinn, which we've already seen from Suicide Squad, teaming up with Poison Ivy and Catwoman.
Which they have not
cast
yet.
Which is
going
to be interesting. They have not casted those two yet. I'm not sure what they're going to do with it. Hopefully it's a thicker story than Suicide Squad. Like, Suicide Squad was fun, but for me, the story was real thin.
Very. And that was them still trying to figure out.
It was A to B to C.
They didn't have that much time.
Yeah, there was no twist. It was just a straight line all the way through.
If I'm right, they only had, 6 months to write a script?
I don't remember.
It wasn't too. I knew it was six was in there. I'm like, that's not a lot, long time. But now, then we have.
The next one is supposed to be in 2019 also is a new Batman movie.
The Batman.
With Ben Affleck.
Now.
Yeah, The Batman. So, and we don't know for sure exactly. They say this is 2019, so
and once
we'll
again,
find
this
out.
Could all change still. This is just the current release dates.
And then the next one, they're calling Dark Universe.
Now, this
which
is supposed
basically
to be,
your Justice League Dark movie.
Yeah, with Constantine, Zatanna, Deadman, so-and-so.
So, I'm not sure what they're doing with this, how long. They've said they want to go ahead with it. I mean, they could have a good almost horror movie in the comic book universe if they want to go with this. But I don't see. It's weird they're putting out stuff like that in Gotham City Sirens before they're putting out their mainstay movies.
Right.
Like, the next one on the list is for 2020. That Green Lantern, or we got three more movies in 2020.
Which is.
Or four movies for 2020 officially.
Four. Oh, yeah, that's right.
We get The Flash, which, like I said, doesn't even have a director yet. They're working on that. We get the Green Lantern Corps, which everybody is hoping is going to be amazing.
Oh, God, I hope so. This is the Green Lantern Corps is why I want tattooed on my body somewhere, so I hope this one is going to do well.
Yeah. And we are getting a Suicide Squad 2. That's 2020. And then Justice League Part 2 should be 2020.
Now, I feel like one or two of these movies are going to be pushed back at some point.
Yeah, possibly. We don't know yet.
But Wonder Woman...
four movies in a year is pretty ambitious.
Yeah, but Wonder Woman 2 has been...
They've already announced they are promising Wonder Woman 2, and there's still Zack Snyder still wants to do a Man of Steel 2 and do a Brainiac story.
And I'm not going to lie to you, Man of Steel was probably one of the best Superman stories I've seen. Not so much with Clark Kent.
I wasn't a fan of Superman in that one.
I literally seen that movie in theaters 3 times.
Yeah.
I loved it because we didn't get... To me, I haven't seen a great Superman film until the Christopher Reeve movies, and I wasn't even born yet. That was all
for me, you have to stand up to those Christopher Reeve movies.
Oh, yeah.
Those were... The first two especially were amazing. And it's like I don't see Superman in Man of Steel.
I saw Superman. I didn't see a lot of Clark Kent, but I saw Superman. I liked their take on it. I really did. It was something for a new generation, and I guess the reason why I liked it so much was it was still lighter than the New 52 Superman.
Well,
that's the crazy thing. Out of
when
all
you
of
put
that,
it up against that,
and that's all we had at the time for Superman. So that's why I guess seeing the Man of Steel was a little callback to everything that I seen as a kid, up to the Smallville show with his parents, with his family. I enjoyed the movie when it came out to Blu-ray. I had to buy the Ultimate Edition. I really,
yeah, I have
really
the, I think the
it.
I have the 3D edition.
Okay. I would have had 3D edition, but I don't have 3D TV. But
yeah.
Yeah, that's a great one. Zack Snyder, to me, that's one of the best movies he's ever made. So if he can come back to make a Man of Steel 2 with Brainiac, please do.
But, I don't know. For me, it's just too dark.
Well, now he can lighten it up.
Maybe.
He can lighten it up. Now, by the way, when this did come out, I didn't know what they were doing. When they said Christopher Nolan also produced it. And we know he just got done off the heels of the Batman trilogy.
Yeah.
So I when it was dark, I'm like, I guess it fits in what DC wants to do. But now they went a different route. And they revamped or rebooted what Batman was. So now we're on a good track. You can still put the storyline in there, make it a little bit more lighthearted. It's going to be a good one.
Okay. Well, I hope so. But that's the end of the movie news for this week, and we actually have a couple of comics news stories.
Yes, we do. Now, this is a character that if anybody's out there that remembers Jack Kirby, what he did with
if anybody remembers Jack Kirby?
Well, he did. If you remember what he did with Marvel transferring to over DC, the first big thing he really did coming to DC was the New Gods.
Yes.
Now, there is one of those New Gods coming back into the DC comic book universe, and that is Mr. Miracle.
Well, actually, he wasn't one of the New Gods.
He wasn't.
He was in with the New Gods, but he's actually a human.
Right, but he was with them, though.
Yeah.
He was a team. He was on the family, would you say? Was that more of a family?
I don't know.
He is coming back.
Yes. Mr. Miracle is coming back, though.
Now, this is from the team behind The Sheriff of Babylon, a Hugo Award-nominated writer. Vision comes to a unique take on Mr. Miracle, one of Jack Kirby's most beloved new gods.
Well, I guess they consider him a new god. Okay.
Yeah. Every time I've seen him, he's with the
other new gods. Yeah.
Yeah. And even in the media, if he doesn't even say a word, he's usually like him and Big Bart are somewhere in the background. But this August of 2017, there will be a 12-issue new series of Mr. Miracle from writer Tom King and artist Mitch Gargans will take on the readers of a episodic roller coaster of death, resurrection, mystery, and intrigue. Kirby created this DC character back in 1971, Mr. Miracle issue number 1, scot-free using the stage of an alter ego Mr. Miracle, one of the greatest escape artists ever to live.
Yeah, it was basically for the 70s, but a modern day Houdini.
That's what I was going to say. He was Houdini, if Houdini was even a superhero.
Yeah.
Now, I have no idea what other characters are going to be in here, but I'm hoping Miss Big Barter can come in here somewhere. She needs to, in my opinion. But Mr. Miracle is one of the most ambitious projects they've ever worked on, says King. And they're going to have a great time with this. They also was working, they said, as Sandman, The Preacher, and The New Frontier.
Yeah, they want something as good as those.
And those were phenomenal stories. Sandman is award-winning. The Preacher is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And The New Frontier, we've talked about, was one of the best things out of DC.
Yeah, ever. New Frontier, I didn't read the book, but I've heard the movie was actually pretty close to the book.
The movie was really great. Like I said, this was also back... I know I kind of, not throwing shade to them, but this was back when DC would get a comic book novel or graphic novel and literally make it into an animated film and put the voice work into it, give you a different feel just a little bit and make it come to life. So this was a great story all around. And because of the nature of this, Tom is creating the book and he's able to stretch out how far he can approach this. And he's also followed Tom into Baghdad, Gotham City, and now he would like to continue more of the work to join them in Battle of the Plans for Apocalypse.
Yeah, now, it looks like this is going to be a Mr. Miracle story, a New Gods story based on Mr. Miracle. Now, so you're going to get Darkseid in this. You're going to get Highfather. You're going to or these are characters I'm assuming you're going to get. You're going to get Highfather. You're going to get Darkseid. You're going to get the Sod. You're going to get... the other ones.
Orion, too.
Orion will probably be... you got pictures of Orion right here in the with it.
Mm-hmm.
Orion's sitting right there.
Now, is Big Barda down there, isn't it?
Well, the thing is, since the beginning, Mr. Miracle and Big Barda have been husband and wife.
Right.
So you can't do a Mr. Miracle story without his wife.
And it looks like from this
picture
right
here,
she is.
That's like trying to do a Superman story without Lois Lane. They tried to do that for 5 years, and look what happened.
Yeah, and they completely redid that, thank God, because that was just a terrible idea. I'm sorry.
But the couple pages they have samples here look really cool.
Yeah, now they look pretty gritty, too. But then if you look at what the cover looks like, they go back to him being lighthearted. And who knows, he could be in a little spill right now. And I love it when they can transition a character in a comic book to having a dark time in his life to bring him back to what we're used to seeing. So this looks like a good book. The cover I will post on Twitter and our Instagram so you guys can take a look at it if you haven't seen it yet. But the cover for issue number 1 looks great.
Okay. And the next one is actually, like we were saying, this is the next part of the actual storyline for...
the Rebirth. For Rebirth. That's been going on.
So go ahead with that. I'm going to...
Okay. Well, for this, in the Watchmen sequel... Well, this is not a Watchmen sequel. This is something that's tying into the button. But this will have something to do with a couple characters, at least one character from the Watchmen. After what happened with Rebirth, they opened up the door to Manhattan. A part that everybody loved. It was a real world influenced by the Watchmen, and everybody knows how strong Manhattan is. Now, the other character from the main DC continuity that's this strong would be Superman. Now, if you can get both of these characters on the same page, let alone just the same book, that would be awesome. And that's what seems to be happening right now. Now, if anybody has got so far into the end of the button, they know what happens. And we'll get to that a little bit later here. But
yeah, that's actually on next week's review list.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said you haven't read the last...
I haven't read Flash 22 yet,
this is going to spoil a little bit for you. I'll try not to tell you everything that happens in here. But the origin story... They wanted to rebuild Rebirth, and when they kicked it off, he wrote a special kind of new story with a new team, the new books, and they're now working out everything. And also, it's been a timely story. And when he says it's been a timely story, it's much bigger than back when The Watchmen first came out. If you remember, okay, that was when the nuclear bombs was going on. America.
Well, yeah, the Watchmen were originally, what, mid-80s?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was a time when people still remembered all of the... the nuclear fallout drills, and yep, the Cold War was still going.
And that's what and made this was, it, Dr. it reflected so
the
scary.
Cold War.
Yeah. But they had a character that could help them with that. And once again, like with Superman, if Dr. Manhattan had all this power to help them, they loved him. But if something were ever to go wrong...
They blamed him.
Exactly. Same for Superman. That's why Lex Luthor for years went Superman dead. Mm-hmm. He's a great hero. He's a great person to have on our team. But if he goes bad... There's no way we can stop him.
Exactly.
So see both of these characters come back is a big story that they want to tell to start off into Rebirth. And also what happened with Superman taking away his origin and rebuilding it up and who's been playing with and pulling on his strings. Also, John's... Oh, I'm not going to get into that one. About the title. Let's get there. Now, this is called Superman and the Watchmen, but the main title right here is all really going to be focused on... I'm sorry. The title is focused on Superman and the Watchmen, but the title is actually called... The Doomsday Clock. The reason why they picked this story out, because last time you heard Doomsday involved with Superman, that was really the death of Superman.
Yeah. Well, they've tried to do them since then. I've not read those stories yet, but I've heard that no one's done Doomsday as well as they did during the death of Superman.
I bought my buddy a book of, there was like these five issues that went in with, and he was kind of like, not so much why did you give me these, but they're not, it's just not the same.
Yeah.
But John's wanted this title because he knew when people hear Doomsday involved with Superman, they remember his death. So could this be another big death in the family for the DC Rebirth, or could it just be something tragic?
After all this, they've taken an entire year to try to build Superman, to make Superman who he's supposed to be.
But not if not
I
kill
don't
Superman,
think they're going to kill off Superman.
Not Superman, but somebody in his family. We don't know.
We don't know, but I don't know.
But this is why he wanted the name. He wants to tease us a little bit.
Yeah.
Also, he said if he brought hope to the Rebirth with the DCU, they had a grim effect with the Watchmen when they first had it. Now...
Will the grime from the Watchmen actually affect that hope?
Yeah, and I think it could, because that was what really brought DC, and that's what really brought us Frank Miller into what Batman is now that we know him, being the Dark Gritty.
Well, yeah, it was the same time, same time frame.
But the Watchmen came out first. That's what sparked off the Teen Titans being so teen-rated. When they first came out, they were just sidekicks.
Mm-hmm.
Then they started becoming more like what teenagers were like in that time frame. Characters start questioning themselves, start wondering.
Well,
the 80s
did
right
that a lot. Because you got to remember the 70s, the 60s. I got to bring back. Have you ever read the original run of Titans from the 60s?
Yes.
Because I have Showcase from the Titans, the beginning of Titans, and Showcase Titans number one. And I have the Showcase of Justice League number.
No, I don't have the
Showcase
Justice
number
League.
One. I have to bring that one in.
Okay.
Because they were what you hear from the. Batman 66 TV series, the way they talked and stuff, that was in the books. Mm. And it was like that, and it stayed that campy and that weird, or what we see as weird now, stayed that way all the way up until the late 70s, early 80s,
and that's,
when everything started, there was a diametric shift in comics that shifted it towards more realistic.
Do you know what started that off?
I don't know exactly.
The Watchmen. The Watchmen was
the Titans were doing it before that.
Not that dark.
Watchmen was what, 84?
They weren't that dark.
When did Watchmen come out?
The Watchmen started that off, if I'm correct. The Watchmen what gave us this new dark, gritty tone for comic book standard. And that's what I was saying with Frank Miller's The Dark Knight. If it wasn't for The Watchmen, I don't know if we would have got that. At least at that time.
Yeah. Because I think the Titans, Judas Contract, and all those ones were early 80s, like 81, 82.
Okay. Let's find out. I'll look at Watchmen, look up the Titans.
Well, that's what I was actually looking up right now, is the Watchmen. Okay. I can tell you when that Titans were. You have the book right here.
There it is.
You have my copy of it. Watchmen was 86.
86?
Titans, this was originally from 83.
Okay.
So yeah, they were going gritty and dark already in the 80s.
Now, the Watchmen was also a different brand, I think, before
Well,
DC
yeah,
added.
It was DC, but it was not part of the DC universe.
Okay.
DC Comics put it out originally.
And then that's where they were trying to figure out with tackling the story. Now, they said this is not coming out until November, and they didn't want it to come out till November because, at least when July, is that when all this started? Was it May or July when we got the rebirth?
It was end of May.
Okay. Well, back then, they had some time to set everything, but now they're going to push it back a little bit so they have a little bit more time to work on it. And also, the biggest thing here is one of the emotional connection between the Rebirth special. Rebirth was so personal, John said, that it was relaunching a line. It wasn't just about making a story he wanted to tell. It was that it was going to be so good in the comics to turn out so great. But when it did, it did. And because he loved it so much, he felt like he has to go back in here in the DC universe, and he wants the story to put back things that fans have missed. Rebirth is one of the stories he says he can reframe with the Rebirth. And also now, this is going to be a little spoiler, but I'm not going to touch too far into, like, say you haven't read it, and if anybody else there hasn't read the Last Flash comic book, don't want to spoil too much for you, but Dr. Manhattan is going to be pulling on Bruce's strings in a way to make him wonder, should he do this?
Okay.
And also at the end of it, now this is going to have to be a spoiler because we're talking about the Doomsday Clock with Superman. He does... we do see Superman and Dr. Manhattan and the Button all on the same panel page, but we don't know what connection they have. How far Superman will fall and what he's going to do to find out is something we have to see once the Doomsday Clock come about. But Superman and Dr. Manhattan will be playing a big part in this Doomsday Clock. This story could just be heavily around them and no one else. We might not get a Batman, we might not get a Flash or anything. But once we get to you guys with the Flash issue number 22, we'll sum up more of what happened and get back to this story for you guys.
Okay. But that actually finishes up our news for this week.
Mm-hmm.
So in reviews,
we have some good stuff.
Yeah, we have two books for this week.
Yeah.
I'll take action because I know you want to do Titans. I know you.
Okay. Well, we'll do this. We know where each one of our hearts lead.
Exactly. Oh, so, so this week we did two. We chose two books out that really are making major waves in the way things are working. One is issue 979 of Action Comics.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're only 21 issues away from the big issue 1000.
Yeah, man.
So that's going to be next year, but still.
Still, the way Rebirth popped up in on us and we got all these
Or
books.
No, that's not even next year. That's 21 issues. That's only 11 weeks.
So that is,
or no, 11 months. So yeah, so it's about this time next year we're going to get issue 1000. So, but we get Revenge Part 1. And it starts off with Superman beaten and bloody being held up by a giant fist.
Mm-hmm, a yellow fist.
Exactly. You flip the page and it's Mongol beating down Superman. I'm talking to him. Then the Eradicator shows up, and you see that it's actually Mongol. Still, remember from Trinity, Mongol is in the being held together with, or being held in the throes of the Black Mercy.
Mm-hmm.
So this is all in his head still. But the Eradicator comes to free him from the Black Mercy and to give him his revenge. Then you flip to see Lois and Clark checking out an apartment in Metropolis. You find out that they're looking to possibly move back to Metropolis now, finally.
Yes. And they're setting up home, and they really want to have just a family environment.
Yeah, they want to have somewhere for... Exactly. And they're worried about, is John going to be able to deal with a move? And Lois tells Clark straight up, now, wait a minute. I was an army brat. I moved all the time, and I turned out okay. I'm fine.
Right.
And Clark's like, well, I had the largest move of all when I was a baby.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking when he said that, too. I was like, well, he's got a point there, Lois.
But they find out this is a place with a nice balcony. It's on the roof of the building, so he can put in roof access for when his friend in the cape has to take care of problems.
Exactly. Now, one thing I was wondering about them being in a space so open, or not so open, open to the city, his son is still going through puberty.
Yeah.
And he's not a human. He doesn't have
full control of his powers
yet.
Yeah,
so I'm thinking if they have any disturbance from an upstairs tenant or downstairs.
Well, there's nobody upstairs.
True. From downstairs, yeah. What will they say? But they'll get to that. They'll figure this out.
Well, then we get to the remains of the Himalayan fortress.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it's Blank, Mongol, and Eradicator. They're here looking for something, and they start searching. Blank knows where it's at. They find this pendant, and it's got a huge amount of power. And Mongol goes, hey, all this potential power is now mine. Let me see. It says, oh, it's an Oblivion Stone.
Okay.
So now, they found
I never heard of Oblivion Stone until this.
I know. Do you have, actually, you had Comic Vine up. Why don't you look up the Oblivion? Because I know it's something that's been in for a while. But and then Mongol's like, the potential power of the Oblivion Stone, that's mine. And the Eradicator says, no, that's our leader's. And Mongol's like, I don't care about the leader I've never met. I want the Oblivion Stone. But as they're about to grab it, these two other, looks like they were inmates or something here in the fortress, come out to say, wait a minute, you're not taking this from us. Hmm. And here it's two of the other...
The Oblivion Stone is not on here. All the characters are not Oblivion Stone.
Just search Oblivion Stone and see. Or Oblivion Stone Superman.
Yeah.
With an O.
Yeah.
But these two other characters come out to stop them. Then we flip back to Metropolis, and they've already said, hey, we're going to take care, we're going to get the building. They're talking to the real estate agent, says, congratulations. As they do, Superman finds, wait a minute, he's hearing something, and he's got to take off and become Superman. So he goes flying because he's heard the alarm from the Himalayan fortress finally.
And now, now everything that seems to be happening is hitting Superman right where he lives,
mm-hmm.
kind of, sort of.
Yeah. So he goes flying across, looking to find out what's going on. He has to double check to make sure Blank is still in his cell, and then he sees the remains of the fortress and Kalex. And Kalex is trying to talk to him, and he says, Blank forced the all clear message, and then told him he took the Oblivion Stone. And when he did, he actually took out Klon and Dratania, which were the two people that were still in the fortress there, and Superman had them there to protect the fortress, and because they even knew they could not hide on Earth, and they can't go home.
Hmm.
So, what do you got?
Nothing
right now. Nothing yet? Okay.
It's nothing popping up really about. They keep taking me back.
But they've been
Superman.
Killed. Then we switch up to the moon.
What?
And on the moon, we see...
Now, this was a big reveal.
Now, well, we saw Henshaw in the last issue.
Right. But he wasn't what we remembered him to be.
Exactly.
When he was
We're trying to figure out, wait a minute. There's already a cyborg Superman. How is he going to get involved in this
right.
and all that stuff? So they're on the moon, and the guy in green, what was his name again? With Henshaw?
Where was that? Let me go back. Of course,
he's
got to
find the right one.
It.
But Mongol and all them teleport back to the moon and say, fine, I'm not your errand boy, but you wanted this? Here you go. And throws the Oblivion Stone at him. No, it says, Mongol's like, you're some insignificant human. He's like, insignificant. You don't recognize me? No memory of Hank Henshaw? Or who I used to be?
Used to be.
And Mongol picks him up and says, I'll just tear you limb for limb.
Oh, that,
I don't
that's
care.
That's Metallo.
Is that Metallo?
That's
okay.
Metallo.
And then as he picks up Henshaw to smash him, Eradicator blasts Mongol, makes him drop Henshaw. Henshaw says, fine, you want to see who I am? He takes the Oblivion Stone, puts it on, and then rips his clothes, and you see he is
not
the cyborg
clothes,
Superman.
His skin, too.
His skin off, everything. He is the original cyborg Superman.
Yeah. So now we know he is back. He really is back here.
Exactly. At which point, because you got to remember, in the Death of Superman story, he had Mongol. He's the one that made Mongol destroy Coast City.
Mm-hmm.
That caused, basically was the cause of Zero Hour.
Yeah, and Mongol was being used. And Mongol does not like
exactly.
to be used.
That one act of destroying Coast City destroyed basically the entire universe at one later on down the line. I mean,
yeah.
That was a long time story building.
Yeah.
But that's what caused Hal Jordan to go rogue and steal all the rings and destroy the core so
yeah.
that he could have all the power to bring back Coast City. And he ends up becoming Parallax.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
that was a dark story
and because
for
of that.
For Lairns.
Exactly. Well, because of becoming Parallax, he ends up destroying the entire universe to restart it so that he could bring back Coast City.
Mm-hmm.
Anything which is anybody who wants to know about that, look up Zero Hour.
Yeah.
And all the everything that goes along with it.
And there was a lot. That was basically one of their few rebirths at the time. They reset a lot of stuff.
It was basically the second DC Universe reset after Crisis was the first one.
Thank you.
And then Zero Hour was the next one. Then we go back and Mongol is trying to fight Cyborg Superman and getting beat down because Cyborg Superman is being powered by the Oblivion Stone.
Yeah. Which is always nice to see Mongol get beat down by no matter who.
Uh-huh. So then we get, at the end, finally Mongol's kneeling down
To kiss
the hand of Cyborg Superman. Says, fine,
well, that's bittersweet. You win. That's bittersweet.
He says, to ensure the true victory against Superman, we have to liberate the Kryptonian called Zod.
That's bad.
We know where Zod's at.
Yeah.
Zod is at Bel-Rev Penitentiary, way in the vaults.
Mm-hmm. And that's why in the next one is going to be assault on the Suicide Squad. See, when I was reading the Suicide Squad for Rebirth, it was like, okay, there's Zod there. There's no way they should be able to take down Zod. Now with all the other Superman villains, I think the squad has got a lot of trouble in their hands now.
Yeah.
But that was Action Comics issue number 979. Yep. And next,
Titans number 11, which is the Lazarus contract number one.
This is one of the biggest storylines they have going on right now for DC's Rebirth. The Titans is one of them, and the rest will be going with the Teen Titans, another Titans annual. Teen Titans annual, thank you. Well, years ago, now if anybody remembers from the Titans from back in the 80s, Grant Wilson was Slade Wilson's son. Before he had Ravager, before he had Jericho, it was this version of Ravager, which was Grant Wilson. Now, he's going to fight the Titans, and he wanted to do anything he could to take them down. But the Titans are a good guy. He's a bad guy. Mm-hmm. And he basically just gave his body up for science in any way he could to stop the Titans, just so he could really make his dad proud. And he's starting to die. It's too much for his heart. And this is when the Teen Titans were very young. There still was Kid Flash, Speedy, Robin, Wonder Girl, Aqualad. His heart gives out on him. And this is where Deathstroke picks up Grant and tells him, son, are you okay? You didn't have to do this. I loved you anyway. And he says, Deathstroke, did I get them? He said, yes, son, you killed them all. You got them all. And Deathstroke picks up his dead son's body. This kind of reminded me of the way Batman picked up Jason Todd. And he says, for what you guys have done to my son, you will pay for it one day. Now, this is where I was like, okay, Deathstroke.
Yeah, he vows vengeance on the Titans for killing his son, which his son had done all of it, and basically his heart gave out.
Fouled on him because he wanted to kill the Teen Titans. That was not their fault, but, you know, villains. Now, this, and I thought this was really weird, too, because while I've seen Deathstroke since the Rebirth, he's been an anti-hero. He hasn't been a complete villain.
Well, even then, he was basically a mercenary. But he was—he fought against the Titans.
Yeah, and if he had to, he would, no matter. And he did work with the Teen Titans, if I'm correct, too. Now we wake up in the present day. 3 days ago, this is Wintergreen talking to Deathstroke, and he's wondering why is my head hurting and what happened now. And he's telling him you had the transplant happen, and it went successfully.
Now, are you still reading Deathstroke right now?
No, I am not.
Okay.
But
so I didn't know anything about the transplant until this.
I didn't either. I think I stopped about 5 issues ago on Deathstroke. It was one of the things I had too much money for everything else.
Yeah.
But he says who was the donor, and they said that they did not say who the donor was that helped out Deathstroke.
No, he had a corneal transplant to basically replace his eye, his missing eye.
But who was the donor?
Don't know.
Well, he says the guy was talking about your son, and I'm not talking about Jericho. You're saying Grant in your sleep, and he says you kept calling his name and you wanted to know a Flash. He says, what all does this mean? He said, plenty time to tell you on the way. Now we go to what's happening in New York right now, hour ago from what we saw just in the hospital. There, all the Titans are here. We got Omen. You have Don Troy. You have Arsenal. You have Tempest. You have Nightwing. And you have Flash. Now, when they're introducing all of them, they're letting them know who they formerly were back in the day.
Exactly.
Once again, Lilith is getting these weird mind visions.
Yeah, they think they're still fighting the soldiers from Hive.
Right.
But they find out they're not.
Some weird stuff is going on here on the roof. And after Dick Grayson goes to interrogate one of them, they turn around and it's like, wait a minute, guys, where did Wally go? Wally's missing, but he was right.
Well, they find out also that these guys are not Hive, but someone hired them to fight the Titans.
Yeah. Who hired them? I think we begin to find out here in a location unknown. Wally is being held up in some type of like a Speed Force trap. He's not able to use his power the way he wants to, but something is draining him of it. And it's also like a lasso of truth being used here. Whatever this guy's asking him, he's telling him. He says, where am I and what is this? And he's like, what's your name, Flash? He says, my name is Wally West and I'm the fastest man alive. And he closes his mouth like, wait a minute. I didn't mean to say that.
Which is funny because the original, back in the day, even back as far as the 90s, Wally West did let his alias go and everybody knew his secret identity.
And that's why also, isn't that why his eyes were always, that was the other way around, never mind.
Barry, you could see his eyes in the costume because he always, the idea was that
the more you need
to
see,
if you could see someone and look at them in the eye, you could trust them.
Right.
Whereas Wally had the white eyes.
Right, he didn't want anybody to see him, and then after all that.
But everybody knew he was Wally West.
But this is kind of like what we just saw in the Button story. It's like this treadmill that he's on that he's hooked up, and something taking away his energy, and it's telling him to keep running, keep running, keep running. He's running 300 miles per hour. Excuse me. The voice, he says, that's telling him to do all this, he knows that voice from somewhere, from the Titans fighting him years ago. And he's still asking him these questions, and he's like, tell me about the Titans. He says no, but then he wants to tell him about how they were all sidekicks, formerly under other heroes, and then they moved to be their own team. Wally's getting really upset now. He's like, stop making me say what I don't want to say. And he's like, who is this guy? Who could this truly be? Get me off this treadmill. He says, wait a minute, I know that name. It's Slade. Deathstroke is back, and now he's using Wally. And now the Titans are trying to figure out where is Wally and where has he been. And it's funny because they're...
Well, Tempest. Before we get back to there, he talks about... or Deathstroke brings up the fact that they killed his son.
Right, and this is where Wally says,
tells him straight up, wait a minute, we tried to save him. I tried to save your son.
I was right there. And also, guys, I didn't tell you this. When Wally was there trying to save his son, Wally can basically become his own...
defibrillator.
Thank you. So that's what he's trying to do, is trying to start Grant's heart back. As he said, out of everybody there, I was the one trying to pump his life back into his body, and nothing was working. And he says, I just wasn't fast enough. And that's when Slade basically is thinking to himself, right, you weren't fast enough. You might as well just killed him. Don't understand that logic, but villain logic. So we go back to the Titan headquarters, and this is where... Tempest is asking them, do you think he might have just went back into Speed Force or maybe just run off? You know he likes to do that, and everybody's looking at him like, that's a terrible idea. You know he wouldn't do that. And he's like, look, at least it was an idea. Nobody else is coming up with anything.
Yeah.
But they're trying to figure out if Liv can get a homing tracking on him with her mind. She can't find anything. And she even said, maybe I can't even read your head, Dick, right now. And she says, closed off. But as we know, Batman and Nightwing learn how to close their mind off to psychic abilities.
Well, they had mentioned there was something in here that they were asking Dick about. Because one of the guys had said something that... they had mentioned Lazarus.
Okay.
Now, they're asking, do you have any idea what Lazarus means? Now, us knowing where Dick Grayson comes from...
Right.
We know what Lazarus means to this, Dick.
Right.
He knows about the Lazarus Pits. That's one of the deep secret that they don't tell anybody.
Bad family.
Exactly.
That knows about this.
So he's not telling about it, and Lilith can't read it off of him. You know, it's like, wait a minute, you know that name from something other than just the biblical version. And she's like, and then when he's like, no, I don't know anything about Lazarus.
And he walks away.
He walks away, and Lilith says, wait a minute.
You're hiding something from me.
I know you're lying to me.
Yep.
To herself, so no one else knows it, but she knows he just lied to her.
And she's going to probably get down to the bottom of this before this whole story is over.
Mm-hmm.
And now Slade has Wally hooked up to another device, and he says, what are you doing to me now? He says he's going to speed this time up, correct? And he's like, wait a minute, what do you mean I can speed time up? His reflex and everything else can get heightened and everything, his muscles. And he says, yes, I can do that, but... You don't know what you're doing when you mess with the Speed Force. The Speed Force isn't just something you can take from people and use them against them. It's something only we can use. It can be very dangerous and deadly. Yeah. But
he knows the speed can bend time. You can move forward and backwards in time with the Speed Force.
And with him wanting his son back, I'm already thinking in my head at this point, he must want to go back in time probably and maybe save his son.
Yeah.
Well,
he said, tell Slade straight up, you can't move back in time. You have to keep moving forward.
Focus on the good part, not the bad, because as he said, believe him, he's been there and seen things that happen. You don't want to mess with the past. That can screw up everything for the future. But right now, Slade's thinking just as Barry did with the Flashpoint problem.
Yeah.
He wanted his mother back, and that's what he did, and that's what Slade wants to do. At least it seems like it. And he says, if you do this for me, I promise that I'll stop being Slade. I'll stop doing these contract killings. I'll just give up this whole mantle.
I'll retire, is what he's saying, straight up.
And then this is when Flash says, that sounds good, but he doesn't make deals with criminals or villains. He says, I figured you were going to say that, so that's why I brought this into play right here, so you would work for me. And he says, oh no. Turn the page, and it turns out he has the other Wally West, the younger Wally. And this is
And funny. Remember, Wally at this point doesn't know who Barry... Or no, I think, yeah, he knows who Barry is now.
Right.
But he didn't know who the other Flash was.
And he says, wait, you're Wally. How can you be Wally West? I'm Wally West. So now we get the tale of what's going to happen with the two Wally West once again. But this time, I think it's going to come full circle.
Yes.
And then we get the next issue in this Lazarus Contract Part 2 in Teen Titans issue number 8.
Okay. And that's actually all of our reviews for this week.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got one more place to do. Go. And that sound or music can mean nothing, but it's time to go to the comic shop.
Yep.
The comic shop pull list, remember, this week, as every week, is brought to you by the Shazbots. Check them out on Facebook and iTunes, or go to shazbots.com. Let them know the DC Superpowers sent you there. And they're bringing us to the comic shop pull list for May 24th, 2017. We've got 11 books on the list for this week.
Yep, all good ones.
Oh, yeah.
The first one we have is Action Comics, issue number 980. As you said, we're climbing up there.
Oh, yeah.
Revenge Part 2. Both Superman and the Revenge Squad must traverse into a deadly Black Bolt and race against time to reach General Zod. Amanda Waller's secret Kryptonian weapon reveals himself to the world, but Cyborg Superman and Eradicator move to recruit him. Tying directly into the events of the Mumps Suicide Squad issue, and no matter who wins in this epic showdown, it spells certain doom for the last son of Krypton. Art's done by Patrick Zercher, and written by Dan Jurgens. I haven't read the Suicide Squad's past issues, but I have them upstairs.
I think I need to finish
this up and read it before we get to this week. So maybe I'll do that in my next couple
minutes. That's interesting, though, that Amanda Waller has Zod is going to be working for her. How do you control Zod?
What do you put Krypton in?
I don't know.
I don't know how she's going to do that, but it's Amanda Waller. She always has her resources.
Exactly.
She's a very scary woman.
Well, next up, we get Batgirl number 11, Son of Penguin finale. Batgirl races to free Burnside from Ethan's plot. But has Burnside already changed too much to be saved?
I think he got a little ahead there.
Huh?
I think he got a little ahead there. You had Batman
behind. Ah, okay. Well, you can get that one after this.
Yeah.
but has Burnside already changed too much to be saved? Even if she manages to save the day, will Barbara ever be able to truly go home again?
Who knows?
Art done by John Lamb and Christian Wildgoose, and it's written by Hope Larson.
That name, I'm sorry. Next on our list, we have Batman Beyond issue number 8, Rise of the Demon.
This series has been so fantastic.
The Batman Beyond?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's,
I've always liked Batman from Beyond ever since the original series.
I haven't read every single book from the Batman Beyond since Rebirth, but I'm liking this better than I did the actual, show, because it's mixing in the comic book elements more than we did get on the TV show. It was in its own world there.
If you get a chance, check out the, there was two or three series, I think it go back to 2009 or so, of Batman Beyond that started as digital only.
I think you were telling me about this years ago.
Yeah. And they were excellent stories.
Was that was the one with Tim Drake? Was it the one he was talking
about? No. That's After Future's End.
Okay, and there was another one.
Tim Drake was the adult. Tim Drake was Batman Beyond from Future's End up till the beginning of Rebirth.
Okay, my buddy was also telling me there was a good story they played on another Hush in the Batman Beyond.
Yes,
with Dick Grayson.
There is Batman Beyond Hush. I actually have that one in trade.
Okay, I'm gonna have to get that one from you too then. But this one is Batman Beyond issue number 8, Rise of the Demon Part 3. Having only recently taken back the mantle of Batman and far from his familiar home turf of Gotham City, Terror arrives in Tibet on a dangerous mission to rescue Bruce Wayne from the League of Assassins. But when he finally gets to the audience with Ra's al Ghul, he's in for a shock of a lifetime. The art is done by Bernard Chang and written by Dan Juergens, another Dan Juergens.
Yes. I think I'm just a fan of Dan Juergens, the way he writes things.
Oh, yeah, I've been liking Dan Juergens since I think I've...
But you gotta remember, I was watching him back in the 90s, so... next up, we get Blue Beetle number 9. The battle with the enemy entity that's been lurking under El Paso for thousands of years reaches its penultimate chapter. Jaime Reyes has wanted nothing more than to rid himself of the scarab on his back. But in order to save his city, his family, and his friends, he must decide whether to become the Blue Beetle again. Only this time, the change will be permanent. Art is done by Scott Collins, and it's written by J.M. DeMatteis and Keith Giffen.
And next on our list we have, now this is pretty good, Deathstroke issue number 19, Lazarus Contract Part 3. Will Slade succeed in reuniting with his son, even at the risk of a cataclysmic disaster, or will the Titans and the Teen Titans be fast enough to stop him before changing the world as we know it? Find out what happens when the world's deadly assassin becomes the fastest man alive.
Interesting.
That's very scary. Art done by Jason Pez, Carlo
Pagliano.
Pagliano, thank you. And written by Christopher Priest, Benjamin Percy, and Dan Abnett. There's a big team in here, guys.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the writers for the three different books.
Okay. And they're all coming together. Them saying being the fastest man alive, if you guys have seen any of the pictures of what this whole Lazarus contract is going to be, it's going to be one big splash page for the covers. In there, if you notice, did you remember paying attention to that? If you look, there's some lightning bolts going around Deathstroke.
Let me see. Yes.
And it was like, wait a minute, why is he having that? And I was thinking to myself, he looks like a speedster right now.
The lightning bolts, and then it's actually hitting Damian's hand also.
I think that's all around. They might all have to share the
So we'll find force. Out.
We don't know.
But the next book that we have up for the week is Detective Comics 957. The Wrath of the Spoiler. Or The Wrath of Spoilers. So it looks like Stephanie Brown is back, obviously, because this is Stephanie Brown wants nothing more than to save Gotham City from the epidemic of costumed vigilantes and madmen that regularly tear the city apart. But before she can stop them, she must face the challenge of one in particular. The insane ideologue, the Wraith, is back. And Stephanie knows what he has planned, but she refuses to let Batman risk more lives to stop him. That means it's all on her, and a very unlikely ally. Art's done by Carmen Carnero, and it's written by James T. Tinian IV and Genevieve Valentine.
That sounds pretty dark and gritty right mm-hmm. there. Now, the next one we have on our list is going to go back into space with Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps, issue number 21. Prims of Time finale.
The Prism of Time.
Prism of Time finale. Now, are you caught up with this? I was going to say something. Yes. It seems like Hal Jordan, once again, has made trouble for himself and the rest of the Green Lanterns. but this is a finale, and to stop Sharko and to save the future of the Green Lantern Corps, a Lantern must die. But can returning Green Lantern find a way to save life instead of taking one? Let's see. Art done by Jodi Tarangian and Rifa Sandoval, and written by Robert Venditti.
Okay, then the next up, we get Justice League of America, number 7.
This has been a great book, too.
Yeah, this is, I've liked this much more than I did Justice League. The writing better.
If I had to pick, I definitely would go with that. The Justice League I kind of gave up on, but the Justice League of America I've been buying every week, every month.
Well, we have Fatal Attraction. Batman and Zenos work on the secret sanctuary, while Ray and Vixen perform community outreach. But it's not all fun and games for DC's newest superhero team, as the Atom and Killer Frost face off against Terror Smith and their own budding romance, while Lobo and Black Canary come to blows in a casino caper. And it's all capped off with a moment fans have been waiting for since DC Universe Rebirth.
That's interesting.
So what did they tease in Rebirth that they're going to put in here?
I'm going to go back. I don't remember too much happening in the
Could it be something to possibly... Since Adam's in this, could it be something to do with Ray Palmer?
You know what?
Because in Rebirth, yeah, the original Ray Palmer disappeared.
Yeah, and that's what they were building up to in the first Rebirth of the Justice League of America.
There was a lot of these characters had stuff that happened in Rebirth too, but that's what I'm guessing. I don't have any spoilers
out of anything else. We're like, oh look, yeah. The Atom.
I don't have any spoilers, but that's what I'm thinking too.
I forgot about that. There's so many things going on right now.
Art is done by Scott Hanna and Felipe Watanabe, and it's written by Steve Orlando.
Okay, and the next one we have is what we discussed earlier from Superman in Action Comics, Suicide Squad issue number 18, Earthlings on Fire, part 3. The moment Suicide Squad has been building up to from the beginning is here. The Suicide Squad has everything they want. Deadshot is reunited with his daughter. Harley Quinn and Rick Flagg's mutual attraction is becoming a true romance. And Amanda Waller has defeated all of her enemies, or has she? Sing in Belrev prison cell is the biggest gamble the Wall has ever played, and it's one of the which the whole entire world will pay. I think they're talking about Zod and the weapon. Art done by Sandu Flora, Tony S. Daniels, and written by Robert Williams.
Okay. Next up, we have the Hellblazer number 10. Or wait, why did that? Oh, that's the wrong one. There, that's Hellblazer. The Smokeless Fire, Part 4. John Constantine has a lead on the missing journal, but as Mizabel created a false trail, Mercury doesn't trust the looks of the club where they end up, and only an old friend, or an old enemy, can save them.
Always with an old enemy with Constantine.
Everybody's an old enemy for Constantine. Yeah,
he has so many. Most of them were friends at one point.
Art is done by Philip Tan, and it's written by Simon Oliver.
And last one on our list is Wonder Woman issue number 23. I think it's still pretty interesting, just like what they're doing with Superman. They're still digging into her past.
Yeah.
By this issue.
They're still rebuilding Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm. I think they had to after the whole... You know how that went. The Truth, Part 5. The conclusion to Diana's search to the truth takes her on a journey into the darkness. But a price of understanding may be one sacrifice too many for Wonder Woman. Art done by Liam Sharp and written by Greg Rucka.
Okay, so we got some pretty good books coming next. This is going to be interesting to figure out what we're going to review.
Yeah, I know. I think I'm going to have to get this Wonder... And this, by the way, guys, it's like Ares on the cover of the Wonder Woman.
Yeah, looks like it.
So,
well, I do got to mention one honorable mention. This is, we don't usually cover any of the other books that are not Rebirth books, but Scooby-Doo Team Up number 26 is coming up next week, and it's Scooby-Doo with Kong Kong Fooey.
You can't get better than those two dogs. That was just the biggest thing back in the day for Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah, I got to read the synopsis for this. It's Scooby-Doo and the gang can handle phony ghosts and goblins, but a gang of high-kicking martial arts dragons. Only one superhero can help them. That number one super guy, Hong Kong Fooey.
Hong Kong Fooey.
That's right. By the time the dust clears, will Scooby solve the mystery and earn a black belt around his waist? Or just a yellow streak down his back? Art is done by Scott Geralds and written by Sholi Fish. This is going to be great just to see the two of them together.
Oh, yeah, the two dogs coming back together. I cannot wait for that. I'm really hoping maybe we could even get like a Hong Kong Fooey like we did with the Banana Splits, the Space Ghost. It would be nice to see
New Hong Kong Fooey?
Yeah, get a new take on there. I wouldn't mind if we got everything else.
Yeah, well, that actually brings us... to our end of our show.
Man, we had a good one.
Yeah, there was a lot of news in there this week. And we got the... What finale are you looking forward to the most this week?
Oh, man, that's...
It's hard to pull because of the ones we had last week.
I mean, Supergirl, I'm waiting to see what happens with the Man of Steel being in there. Then you got Flash. Are they going to bring Iris back? Is he going to die? Is Flash going to die? Who's going to be the one to go? Is it HR? We don't know. And then we got the Arrow with everybody coming back. We got Black Siren. We're going to have the two Black Canaries going at it.
Because we have the new Black Canary and old
Black Siren. Right, and the Black Siren, which was the original Black Canary.
Which are both metahumans.
Exactly.
We got Arrow's new team of villains working with him.
Deathstroke coming back to help.
Yeah.
Merlin being in there. And so, is Prometheus going to get ganked, or is he going to be actually put in prison?
I don't know. So far, most of the only villain that we've had survive so far, if I remember right... Is Deathstroke.
Yeah.
No, because Merlin. Merlin survived.
Yeah, Merlin survived.
Merlin and Deathstroke. Right. So, and they're both in this.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see where this goes. The films looks like they're trying to slowly figure out what's actually going on. I'm wondering how much of the new lineup is Geoff Johns' influence on this.
What's going on with Wonder Woman and what's going on with Justice League? As I said, Wonder Woman's had great reviews, at least from what we've seen so far. It hasn't been released yet, but from people that have seen it, gave it thumbs up.
Exactly.
Also, with Joss Whedon taking over the mantle right now for being the lead director for Justice League. As we said, he did Avengers. Now he's going to do Justice League. You can't really get any better than that in life goals.
Yeah. So, and then look for probably next Thursday, because we usually see the movies on the preview night.
Mm-hmm.
So look for next Thursday, possibly a Facebook Live from us, maybe live from the theater before or right after the movie.
We may
have to do a Facebook Live
reaction,
spoiler-free reaction review.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit, maybe while we're eating some popcorn
or something.
Talking to some fans, we'll see what everybody else might think. But tune in, guys, and we'll let you know.
Exactly. So from there, Vernon, why don't you let the Super Friends know how to get a hold of us?
Guys, if you're on any social media and you're following us, if you haven't followed us, follow us now, please. On our Twitter is @SuperPowersDC. On our Instagram and our Facebook page is DC Superpowers Podcast. So please follow us and let us know everything. We'll keep you guys updated and posted. And once again, I'm going to post some pictures of Mr. Miracle was coming out for this August.
Actually, we just got some, we also got some pictures from DC of some of the
new
stuff from the Looney Tunes crossovers that are coming up.
We put up a couple of those up real soon. Yeah.
So, but from there, you can always find me. Did you give your information, right?
No, I didn't, guys. For me, for my Instagram, Howlin' at Wolf, BL for Twitter, and Vernon McWayne Moore for Facebook.
And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter as GW1Ken. On Facebook, I'm Ken Rose. You can find the show on our at the Tangent Bound Podcast and the Weeby Geeks Podcast at Tangent Bound Podcast or TangentBoundNetwork.com and the WeebyGeeksPC.com.
I just want to say, don't forget about these guys either.
Yes, and you can find all things GeekWatch 1 at GeekWatch1.com. Speaking of which, this Saturday is the first of our Saturday Meeplecast. We're moving the monthly live show to Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock at the Multi Meeple in Hudson.
Well, I think when I was getting this shirt, you guys were recording on Saturdays at one point, right? At least
not at Hudson.
Not at Hudson, okay. You guys were recording on a Saturday. I do remember that was my week, and I was like, oh, this is pretty cool.
And the other thing is, Super Friends, get a hold of us on social media, on Gmail, on anywhere you can get a hold of us. Let us know. We've been doing these shows on Facebook Live for a couple weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
But every type of social media, including YouTube and Twitch, have a way to do a live show. Which is the best platform to do this on? Should we stay on Facebook Live? Should we move it to Instagram or Twitter or YouTube or over to Twitch? Let us know, because we're trying to figure out the best way to get it out to you guys. So, but for that, Vernon, thank you for another great show, my friend.
Anytime, all the time.
And Super Friends, we'll see you next week.